Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Weber.
What's happening, Smith? Hello, hello.
All right. I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Welcome, everybody. This is Wager Maker Podcast number 5. We are so happy to be here. We actually have some actual football games to talk about this week. There's only preseason, but at least it's better than nothing. So we got some preseason. We're going to basically go down all the preseason games from last week, talk a little bit about them, touch a little bit about them, might have a little fantasy advice, some guys that stood out, some guys that didn't, some teams that might be in trouble, some teams that aren't. We'll talk about our plays from last week. We had 4 best bets that we had agreed on, and we went 2-2, and we'll be looking at all of week 2's NFL preseason matchups coming up soon, and we'll talk about what best bets those are. So how's it going, Webb? What's going on this week?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. How are you? Doing good.
All right.
Doing good.
All right.
Making some wagers.
Got to keep rolling, man. You got to get back on the horse. You got to have that shooter mentality with this. If it doesn't go good,
I was dad. The Borgata sports book was decent to us.
Yep. Cool. So just remind everybody on Facebook, we're the Wager Makers Podcast. At Twitter, the Wager Makers Podcast at the Wager Makers, and Instagram at the Wager Makers. We're also on Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, and Stitcher. We're getting bigger and bigger every week.
So, growing, baby, every day.
So, Webb, preseason week number 1, anything off the top of your head that stood out or that you want to talk about and just start off with, or what do you think about that?
The thing that struck me, just how bad Matt Schaub played, I think, was off the top of my head. I don't know if he's been here long enough, he's just collecting a paycheck, or he's just not worried about the preseason. But that Atlanta game, he just looked horrible. And then also just how we were right on with how the Dallas Cowboys do not put any stock whatsoever into a preseason football game. They just don't care. Obviously every team wants to win. You'd rather win than lose. You go out, you roll the balls out, you want to win, but Dallas does not care what goes on in a preseason football game. Those were the two, I guess, most striking or the most obvious things that I saw last
year. Right. I think you called that one on Dallas. You said they wouldn't really, do much or care to do much. It was a little rough going there because they came out a little bit early and got on top of San Francisco. San Francisco came back and was able to actually win and cover a spread. We went 2-2 last week with the bets that we gave out on here. If anybody's wondering, all this can be verified at sportswatchmonitor.com. All of our bets are on there, our baseball daily, all kinds of picks. You can even buy picks from us on there, but you can also get them on here. So keep listening and you get all our picks. We'll be going through some tonight. I'll tell you, Webb, the preseason, especially week 1, is kind of tough to watch sometimes.
Long
and monotonous.
Once it gets late, it gets scary. Yep.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll tell you, it hurts me sometimes too, because you see a guy midway through the third quarter or something get hit right in the gut with a pass, and he drops it. Man, it just kind of deflates you because this guy, if they're playing at that point in the first preseason game of the year, they're on the cusp of that. Most teams might carry 4, 5, 6 wide receivers, and there's not too many chances out there. And so you get one, in your butt, man, and you get one right in the gut and drop it, and you just feel bad for the guy. He's coming out. But got a couple things before we get in game to game. A couple things. We're gonna have a little regular segment here called the Things That Piss Us Off. How about that? I think we're gonna start it off right this week. There's a couple things I saw last week that pissed me off. We're gonna talk about that. Webb's kind of an ornery bastard too, so if he's got some tonight, I don't know, but I'm sure in the weeks to come, Webb will have plenty of things that piss him off during the week. There's no doubt about that. I want to start. Some things that piss me off is stupid ass fucking numbers in the preseason. I get it. Guys are trying to make teams. You got wide receivers that are number 12. I don't even have too much of a big deal with that. Ty Montgomery. That shit fucking pisses me off. He was a wide receiver in Green Bay. I get it. They had to use him at running back. He's got number 88. So it was really cool then because it shows how much he can do and all the different things he can do on the field. But now, dude, you're on a different team. You're listed as a running back. Get a goddamn 20-something number, 30-something. I don't care what it is. Get the number 88 off your back. One more thing. Shitty kicking in the preseason. That shit fucking pisses me off.
Oh, yeah.
So Chandler Cannizzaro, and I feel kind of bad because I couldn't wait to rail on this dude. for tonight's show. And it turns out like 2 days ago, he basically retired after the first preseason game. So the Jets are looking for a new kicker. But this dude, look, we had the Jets. I'm a little biased. We had the Jets in that game. That was one of our losers. But right off the bat, he misses two extra points to start the game. So instead of it being 7-7, it's 7-6. I think we were getting like a point and a half, something like that. Instead of being 7-7, it's 7-6. And then sure enough, the next one he misses is 14. Instead of being 14-13, 14-14, it's 14-12, right. And we're getting 1.5. So obviously I'm a little biased. But this dude goes out there for an extra point and lines up on the fucking – a professional kicker lines up on the hash mark on an extra point. If that doesn't mean that shit's in your head already, I don't know what does. It's like the dude that goes out there and plays golf. He's got the big banana fucking slice, and he lines up way on the side of the fucking tee box. I mean, it's like just amateur fucking hour. Dude, get in the middle of the fucking field and kick a goddamn extra point already.
All right. Yeah. He put us behind the eight ball real early. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Retired. That's a kind word, I think. He might be a shitty kicker. At least he's not stupid.
We can say that. He got while getting's good. He's like, listen, I might as well get on my own terms.
Exactly.
His high school team might have been looking for a special teams coach. He could get in there somewhere or something like that while the job opens.
It's still October,
there, man.
There's still some openings for gym teachers around. If he can throw some shorts on, that whistle around his neck.
Oh, man. And then, so did you, I don't know if you caught the other day, they had ESPN had this, fantasy football marathon, they called it. Now, I know, I like fantasy football. I'm into fantasy football. I know you're an old schooler. You're not really into the fantasy football. Nah. You think it's bullshit. Nah. This fucking show started it one day. And so I'm watching. I had it on TV. I was doing some stuff. Weekend. I was preparing for tonight's show. So looking over some stats, looking over some things. Next thing I know, hours and hours go by. I fall asleep. The TV is still on. It's got this shit on. It says like 8 hours. They had like a million fucking people signing up for fantasy football. I go to lunch the next day at a restaurant, and the goddamn shit is still on. It's like 20, and it's saying hours, 20. So I'm like, oh, shit, man. They're fucking not playing with this shit. These dudes are like all night, and I don't know what kind of drugs, Red Bull, fucking drugs, this fucking, the dude, the fantasy football guy on ESPN is on. But I don't know what his deal is. Yeah, Barry. Oh, and him and Schefter are having like competitions on the fucking show and shit. Like spin the wheel, all kinds of different like running the fucking gauntlet.
It's not
shit,
gambling, by the way.
Man, I don't know what's up.
That's not gambling. Just let's be clear, fantasy football is not gambling.
Yes, well, I let them know. I know you're feeling on that. But anyway, so I go to lunch and I come home fucking dinner. I turn on TV at night and I saw him at lunch. I'm like, all right, fuck it. It's 20 hours. Certainly it's a 24-hour thing. So I get home at night and it's saying 27 hours. It's still going. I don't know how long it lasted. I didn't watch the whole thing, but
still going on.
The fantasy marathon is still going on. All right. One last thing to piss me off first week. Let me get that out of the way, and then we'll start getting into the games. All right. So the NFL power rankings. What the fuck are those for? I understand in college football where that comes from, because back when we grew up, the only reason why you won a national championship is enough people voted for you. Now at least in college, at least they have the playoff game. What the fuck is an NFL power? What's the point of that? Everything's played out on the field. Everything's done based on the record. Who gives a shit? It just makes you feel better. Oh, the dudes in New Orleans all happy. The Saints are fucking number two. What the fuck does that mean? Nothing. It means nothing. The NFL power ratings mean fucking nothing. All right. I vented. That's things that pissed me off out of week one. I'm sure Webb's got some. You can bring it up later, or we can bring it up now. I'm sure as the weeks come, Webb will have some things that piss them off.
Oh, there's going to be a laundry list. But just to piggyback on the power rankings, yes, they mean nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Zero.
All right, so let's go down the list and take a look at some of these games. Let's start out maybe right here with the Jets-Giants. That's one that we took a few weeks ago. Took the Jets, getting the 1.5 that didn't work out for us. You see anything caught your eye in that game, Webb?
I was impressed. Alex Tanny was the backup there playing for the Giants. He was on the Cowboys there for a little while. I think he went to Monmouth. I was impressed by him. But we had that game that your boy or could stand whatever they Cantizaro kind of put us behind the eight ball. I was feeling very good about that until I fell asleep till it got real real late in the game and whoever was playing. I thought we had it handicapped correctly. That was just one of those a straight preseason, you know, throwing flyers there at the end. But I felt good. I still feel good about that one, even though we lost.
Right. I thought, you know, Saquon Barkley and Le'Veon Bell obviously didn't play. I thought Darnold looked pretty solid. Like he threw his way around back there. He was 4 of 5 for 68 yards. And surprisingly, you know, we've kind of tough on Brown, the rookie out of Duke for the Giants. He went 5 of 5, 67 and a touchdown.
Well, that was throwing up here. There's no way. Did you see the guy? Barry just came out today. He said he hopes Eli takes every snap. There's something. Eli has photographs of the Mara family or something. I don't know what's going on with it. There's absolutely no quarterback controversy. Daniel Jones is not an NFL quarterback. He will not start. Let's do a wager makers first. He will not take a snap, meaningful snap in a game before let's say halfway. So before week 9, barring any injury, he will not take a snap when they're, you know, up or down by less than 24 points this entire season. There's no way that Pat Shurmur wanted him on the team, and there's absolutely no quarterback contrary whatsoever. And that touchdown pass he threw should have been picked off twice. It went through two defenders' hands. So let's enough. I am not on that Kool-Aid.
Fair enough. Speaking of Kool-Aid, well, when we went did the over-unders for teams a few weeks ago, I said you were drinking the Cleveland Browns Kool-Aid. I gotta say, they look pretty. You know, obviously the starters only played a little bit, and obviously Odell and Landry did not play, but Mayfield did. Man, yep. The Browns went right down the field. 5 of 6, 77 yards. They came out in no huddle, went right down the field. What'd you think of that game?
I like the Browns. Not even because of the offensive side of the ball. I just think defense travels. I think Denzel Ward is a stud. They got, you know, first rounders on all three levels of the defense, and I think that can keep them at least in the ball game in terms of the playoff hunt. And Mayfield, I'm not sure I'm my biggest Mayfield fan, but I kind of understand why he pisses people off, but dude's a winner. You can't argue with that. And it's I'm happy to be. I was a Browns fan, I guess, back, not a fan, but I rooted for the Browns back in the day, the Brian Sipe days. So I think they're going to be fine. It's going to be interesting. And like I said, they're going to be right there at that number that we taught them, 10, 11 wins, 12 wins, maybe.
Yeah, I tell you, they looked impressive. And a lot of guys didn't even, you know, a lot of they got so much talent, man. They got Chubb running the ball. They got the two great wide receivers, a really good tight end going down the middle. Mayfield just seems to kind of have that it factor that you look for. He kind of reminds me attitude wise, I think, of Brett Favre when he was younger. You can either love him or hate him, but the guys seem to rally around him. I think Myles Garrett is going to be rushing on the end, the kid from A&M coming into his own now, second or third year. They turned my head a little bit. I think Washington is in big trouble, man. They got their court. They have no offensive line. Keenum, McCoy and Haskins is their, quarterbacks. I don't know. I don't see that team going anywhere. So
I gotta agree with that. That coach, John the Gruden, both Grudens to me seem kind of clueless. And without Trent Jones, whatever, the left tackle, they're in big trouble. They don't have a quarterback as of yet. Although I do think Haskins probably had the worst stats of any of those rookies. I think he probably looked. He was asked to do more of a professional job back there, more of a real, a real look at what it would be like to be a quarterback than any of the guys. But they're spinning their wheels for sure.
Right. Okay. Move on to Titans and the Eagles. Two interesting teams. I think it's funny that the Eagles had a wealth of quarterbacks last year, and Nick Foles is on his way down to Jacksonville. And sure enough, it's just like in the game, you try and hide somebody in a baseball field. Sure enough, the ground ball goes right to him. Nate Sudfeld, the backup quarterback there, breaks his wrist. He's the number two. Now all of a sudden, I think the only other two quarterbacks on the Eagles roster is Cody Kessler, and the rookie fifth rounder Clayton Thorson from Northwestern. Man, they better hope Wentz stays healthy.
Well, that's the, I mean, well, you know, 32 teams could say the same thing, but yeah, absolutely. So, but again, we're talking about Nate Sudfeld. If Carson Wentz gets hurt and Nate Sudfeld came in, and all of a sudden they're still going to win 10 games? No, it doesn't really matter if Wentz got hurt. Foles isn't there. And is there really a big difference between Cody Kessler and Nate Sudfeld? I doubt that. That's a little bit of a, you know, sky's falling. If anyone's starting quarterback gets hurt, they're all fucked. So it doesn't really matter. Aside from maybe the Saints and then what's going on down there in Indianapolis. Brissett is a good backup as well, but that's, you know, you're going with the Colts with no luck. Brissett's not winning the Super Bowl. So most teams are in that same boat. Worrying about the guy holding the clipboard is a luxury.
Yep. Yep, no doubt. I think you're right on that. I do like the pickup of Jordan Howard for the Eagles, the running back from Chicago. I think he'll be a good addition. He can do a lot of things. Adds a little bit of power to their game. Tennessee, you got their quarterback down there. This is really a make or break year for him. I think we'll see how it turns out. He's played kind of up and down. Mariota. Tennessee's got his plays a solid defense. They got Henry rushing. I think his health is a little bit in question, but this has got to be the breakout year for Mariota, or he's going to find himself looking for a job pretty soon, I would think.
Yeah. Well, they just got the guy from Miami, the quarterback from Miami. I'm not sure why people think that they're good. They have a decent running game. They have kind of an okay quarterback, Tyler Lewin. The offensive lineman suspended, I think, for at least 4 games. That kind of, he's probably their best player overall. They do play solid defense. Vrabel's a good coach. Everybody likes him just based on his, he was a solid pro player. I'm just kind of confused as why people think they're as good as they are. Mariota's never done anything, but you're 100% right. If he doesn't do it this year, he's going to be, he'll be a backup somewhere next year. So we'll see, but I'm not as optimistic with them as everybody else.
Right. Okay, moving on. Speaking of quarterbacks, came out this week, Luck, who they've been talking about, has a calf injury for the last few days. Just in the last couple of days, they said it's more like a high ankle sprain injury all of a sudden the last couple of days. That's obviously going to be a big issue moving forward for the Colts.
A high ankle sprain, or it's probably, those are 3 very bad words associated with any football player. Any, if you're a fan, obviously you've heard it on some of the better players. It's a long lingering issue. It's much worse than it sounds. Although with a quarterback, you can kind of throw him in the shotgun there and kind of hand off and do some quick throws. But that's a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, especially off of last year. They have the Quentin Nelson, a Jersey guy, by the way. And also the linebacker Leonard, I think, were 2 rookie first team all pros or whatever. So, and they were real good. They ran into a buzzsaw with KC last year in the playoffs. But, you know, they had a big dreams coming into the season with no luck. That kind of really lowers the bar for them. So that's huge. That's probably one of the biggest stories out there right now.
Yeah, I think so. We talked a lot about Antonio Brown and Zeke, but obviously Luck being out. You know, Jacoby Brissett, he showed some signs that he could hold things down a little bit last year, but certainly with the high hopes, like you say, of the Colts, there's no way. And they're already saying Andrew Luck is a good chance he's going to miss the first week of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Who knows where this is going to go from there. As far as the Bills go in that game, you know, Josh Allen, I think the jury's still out. One thing for you fantasy football guys out there, they had that rookie running back, third-round running back for the Bills, Devin Singletary from FAU. He looked really good. And with when you have Shady McCoy and Frank Gore is the 2 guys in front of him on the roster, those guys are getting way up there in years. There's a good chance maybe the Singletary could come up with some big numbers later on this season.
Yeah, Shady's always hurt, too. He's not going to give you 16 games. Definitely a baller, but and they need to. They should rely on the running game. They do have some receivers that they signed. Cole Beasley might be another decent little sleeper for you fantasy guys, because it's just a little slot guy. He was good for the Cowboys, and he may help Josh Allen as well, too. So keep that in mind.
All right, moving on real quick. The Panthers and the by the way, we did have the Bills last week, and they rolled over the Colts without Andrew Luck. That was a good one for us. They pretty much had that game under control from the get. So next up is let's look at the Panthers and the Bears. Bears obviously had a great season last year. Man, for me, the quarterback for the Bears, Trubisky, I don't know. What's your thoughts on him? Jury's still out for me.
Well, you got to agree with that for sure. I mean, he's still young. How many games has this guy started at an elite level? Maybe, you know, 12 games in college, maybe, I think, and then right. Whatever he played last year and he's hurt. You know, the good thing about him is he can run. So if thing breaks down, he doesn't see anything, he just tuck it and run. But with the Bears, again, they did spend some money on some offensive players. But it's going to be as far as the defense takes him. They got guys at all three levels, Khalil Mack, and then they got the linebacker out of Georgia, who's ridiculously good. And then they got two all pro safeties. So not that it doesn't matter, but they're going to go as far as the defense takes them.
Right. You got, and then the Panthers in that game, you know, you got Cam coming off injury. They say he's going to be healthy, ready to go. His backups there are Kyle Allen. And, you know, I really liked Will Greer with West Virginia. They picked him up in the third round and they're kind of battling for the backup spots. Both of them looked a little shaky there. In the first preseason game, obviously to be expected, but I think with Cam's injury status, it'd be interesting to see if Greer is a guy that they drafted just to have a little depth, or if a guy they drafted because they think maybe he could be the heir apparent to Cam.
Well, they're in no way looking to get rid of Cam in the near future. They drafted Greer just the hopes that they could kind of develop him down the line. Similar to the Bears defense going to carry him. If Cam Newton is not an MVP caliber player, then, you know, the Carolina Panthers aren't going anywhere. That's another team that's, you know, they can't wait to get out of this time period, this little period of time where it's preseason. They want to get Cam healthy and let's play some real ball games. And then they're looking for McCaffrey. They're saying 1,000 yards rushing and 1,000 yards receiving. I'm not sure that's beneficial either, but you know, it's Cam Newton or bust with them.
Right. So McCaffrey's a great, great young player. The Bears selected third round player from Iowa State, running back David Montgomery. And he looked pretty good the other night, so we'll see how that turns out. Moving on here, the Texans and the Packers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers coming back. We'll see. You know, to be honest, I know how great of a player physically Aaron Rodgers is, and for years I would agree that he was probably the most gifted quarterback in the game. But man, eventually you got to stay healthy. I think he did stick it out for last year, but man, you got to stick around. You got to win games. It seems like the Green Bay has not been a playoff factor for a few years here. What's your take on the Packers moving forward? New coaching staff, Matt LaFleur, who's a McVay disciple. Can he get along with Rodgers, or can they coexist, or how do you think that's going to work out?
I mean, that's just something that I think is over fucking weird. Aaron Rodgers really doesn't, need a coach per se. He knows the playbook inside and out. Let's let him go out there and do his thing. Yeah, he's banged up, but he's been a thorn in the Cowboys side for a couple years now. He basically beat him one-legged going to Prescott's first year. I got a buddy who's a Viking fan that would, you know, murder Aaron Rodgers if he could. So I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers. This year they have a little bit of a running game. They got some studs. That dude Bakhtiari is a stud on the offensive line. And I think they may finally, this is probably not the first time we send this, but I think they paid attention to the defense via the draft and some money. This is the year I think they could maybe get back, you know, based on that relationship or how that offense, how much of LaFleur allows Rodgers to do his thing. But this, they could be a sneaky, you know, as sneaky as Aaron Rodgers could be to get to an NFC championship or Super Bowl. This could be that year just based on the defense and the fact that they can run the ball finally.
Right. Like you say, I think that division's fairly open. I don't think Detroit's got too much going on. Certainly Green Bay can challenge with the Bears and, you know, we'll see, and the Vikings, we'll see. Like you say, I mean, it's weird to say Aaron Rodgers and his gang are flying under the radar a little bit, but it's a possibility. So moving on, then the Texans, obviously, moving on, let's talk about their quarterback a little bit. He's a young up-and-comer, and, you know, everybody's all over in fantasy football, everything about Watson being one of the top guys. we'll see how he turns out. What do you think about him moving up?
I think he's quality. I mean, I've liked him even back at Clemson, but the offensive line is a mess. It's still a mess. It seems like it's always a mess. Hopkins is ridiculously good at the receiver position. They just brought in, I think, Duke Johnson from Cleveland, which I think was smart. J.J. Watt is a stud. They seem to keep losing guys in the secondary. And Clowney, I think, is unsigned. I believe he's they tried to franchise him, and he's not in camp. So the GM situation is a mess. I'm not sure what they're doing. You know, if they didn't have Hopkins, they would be – I don't know where they'd be. So I'm again, it's another one of these teams. I'm kind of scratching my head. I'm not really sure exactly what they're doing or what they're thinking. They're going to rely so much on the defense. Bill O'Brien had that good year as a coach the first year and hasn't done much since. So that's one I would be more, you know, glass half empty than half full on that team.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see. I think they're resting a lot on Watson. We'll see if he can really carry the load. Obviously he's put up great numbers his first couple of years when he's been out there. But let's see if he's got some stuff to go around with him. Right. All right, moving on. The Broncos played the Seahawks the other night. Obviously, Russell Wilson didn't play. Man, they got Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch. We're going for those guys. So Seattle's got a rough crew going on for backup. So maybe this week coming up, maybe Wilson will get a little bit of run. Who knows? Probably doesn't need to. Why wear him out? He basically runs the whole offense. I did like Penny, who's in his second year, the running back from San Diego State. Yep. Man, he looks healthy. He looks explosive. He'll be sharing carries with Chris Carson a little bit. But, man, he looks quick. He looked quick and talented in his first year last year. Obviously, we remember him at San Diego State. He used to run all over the damn place.
Yep.
And, man, he looked good. I thought as far as Denver goes, Flacco played a series or so, and Philip Lindsay, that young running back that was a rookie last year. I thought those are a couple names you guys want to keep an eye out for fantasy football. He looked just as bit fresh and ready to go as he did last year with fresh legs. Any thoughts on that game, Webb?
Yeah, it's funny. I don't think Seattle hasn't had a backup quarterback, I think, the entire time Russell Wilson has been there. I think they brought Matt Flynn in the year that they drafted Russ, and then he was gone by the end of camp. And then I think they had Tavarius Jackson for most of the time. So that doesn't scare me as much as maybe some other teams, just based on the history of it. And it's funny. Brad, Penny, it's funny. Us gamblers know who he is just from those obscure Friday night, late night San Diego State
games. The late night West Coaster
games. I liked them coming out. Yeah, I liked him coming out of school. The Seahawks are going to be there. They're good. I guess it starts with Pete Carroll. I don't know. Seems like they lose guys and coaches, and they're still there, and they've had some crazy offensive line issues, and they still seem to be right there in the playoff hunt, if not, you know, winning a playoff game. So they're going to be there. The Broncos, I'm not sure what's going on there with John Elway. Flacco sucks. I'm not sure what's happening with the offensive line. I don't know who's going to catch the ball. Lindsey's a baller, and the defense is real good. They got obviously Von Miller. And then the secondary, Cliff Harris Jr., and then they got the other guy they drafted, the other Chubb, on the other defensive end spot. Again, that's a difficult division. I don't know. Down on the Broncos, too.
All right. I don't know. I think the Broncos are going to be a little better than you think. I like Flacco. I think he's going to give a little bit of veteran leadership that they haven't had over there a while. I don't think the quarterback over there has to do much with that defense and the running game. We'll see. Like you said, I'm not sure who they're throwing to. They got a couple. Obviously, Sanders has been there forever. They got another young wide receiver that they think is going to take on over for Thomas. Guys, yep. Yeah. So we'll see how that works out. And then we'll move on to the Jags and the Jags and the Ravens. The Ravens are such an interesting team to me. You know, I'm so interested to see how Jackson turns out. You know, he played a few series. Foles didn't play at all for the Jags. I saw a stat the other day say the Ravens have won 14 straight preseason games. I don't know if that's something to take to the bank next week or not. Harbaugh obviously must put something into the preseason games. They always have a good defense, a lot of solid defense and defensive talent and defensive depth. Jackson's a tough guy to defend, especially, like I say, he played three series and Foles didn't play any against them this week. Did you check out that game, Weber?
I didn't see it, but I think that, you know, Lamar Jackson, they're a decent bet just because Lamar needs as many reps as he can get, and they got a couple new receivers. So that's why he's going to get more a longer look than anybody else. He's trying to work on his mechanics throwing the ball versus running, and he's not going to run as much in the preseason. I definitely don't want him taking hits. And then, like I said, their defense is always good, so that travels no matter what, especially in the preseason. So that's going to keep them in these preseason games at the very least. So, in terms of that's a tough division. In terms of the regular season, I'm not a big Harbaugh guy, but they're always kind of right there. So I'm sure this is going to be just kind of a status quo, depending on the leap or the strides or lack thereof that Jackson makes. But I still think they'll be decent to good. So,
right. I think he runs enough. The addition of Ingram obviously coming over. Yep. I think it'd be a good running attack. And that's only, even if they don't make huge plays in the passing game, he showed even last year down a stretch that helps the defense out. They control the ball, you know, all those things that the running game does to help out. Obviously it's not the prettiest thing to watch in today's modern NFL, but you can't argue with the results. He struggled in the playoffs, but I'm interested to see how that team turns out. Harbaugh had a pretty funny comment after the game. They asked him, well, you know, your guy played three series and Foles didn't play at all. And he kind of asked him, what he thought about that? He's like, well, my guy's in his second year and Foles, right. Foles just won a Super Bowl. You know, you got a Super Bowl champ over there. It's a no brainer. So I thought that was pretty funny. They were asking him that question, like, well, you know, compared to two quarterbacks.
Stupid
like,
question.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Then we got your boy Rosen versus Fitzpatrick battling out for the starting spot in Miami. They played the Falcons. I'm not sure how that's going. I don't know if I believe in Rosen. I think he had a decent game the other night, but what'd you think about that one?
Yeah, he played okay. I think so I read today or so I heard today he's finally taking the first team reps ahead of Fitzpatrick, which only makes sense to me. They're not going anywhere really either way. Fitzpatrick may keep you in a couple games early in the season, but he's definitely going to lead the league in picks if he plays enough. And Rosen, I'm a fan. I've been a fan since the UCLA days, but you can't judge him based off of last year. He was still a top, what is it, six pick or whatever he fell. He fell, maybe wasn't top six, but that line, and that's still one of the reasons why I'm down on Arizona this year, is that offensive line was horrible. David Johnson did nothing. And it was basically, you know, you want him to throw the ball to Fitzgerald every time. So I'm still treading lightly on my optimism for Josh Rosen, but Miami's going nowhere fast.
Right. If you're Miami, you got to see, you made a move to get Rosen. You got a first round quarterback in there. You got to see what he can do. So why fool around with fast?
Why mess around? Exactly. Right. Yep.
Moving on, Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh had a pretty good game. Jameis Winston looked pretty good. He was in there for one series. I think this is obviously, like we talked about, some guys really a make or break kind of year for him. I love Arians as a coach. I'm a fan of his.
Yep. If
anybody can turn this kid around, I think he's got all the physical tools. Obviously, he's been a little immature even on and off the field. If he can grow up a little bit and stop turning the ball over too on the field, maybe he can turn it into something.
I agree. I mean, I can't echo that strong enough. I think Bruce Arians could be the perfect guy for Jameis. I was a big Jameis fan coming out of college. I have a couple of Jet fans up here that my buddies, and I've said, you know, they thought, you know, obviously he's been a knucklehead stealing fucking crab legs and shit, but you know, we all, who didn't do stupid right. shit. I'm 48 years old. I'm still doing stupid shit, but yeah. But I think if he can somehow just get focused or, you know, channel that, you know, that stupidity in the right direction, I think he could be very good. Like I said, he can't turn the ball over. That's the first, that's page one. But I think Arians, if anyone's going to do it and Arians can't do it, then, you know, he's going to be one of these guys, just like Mariota, kind of, you know, five teams in 10 years as a backup, you know, still great living, but not what he envisioned.
Right. And the Steelers, I'll tell you, they had that first round pick Bush from Michigan, that middle mm-hmm. linebacker. He was all over the field.
He was born to do it. Perfect.
Yep. Yep. The Steelers, they draft linebackers. They put a 50 something number on them. They just look natural in that position. They run around, they fly around. I've been watching
them sideline to sideline
for 100 years, watching the linebackers play all over the field for that. Also, LSU's Devin White was the first round draft pick for Tampa. And another guy real born good. To he do looked it. Really yep. good the other night. You know, real yep. good, real good, solid young linebackers is fun to see. Talk so much about the offense anymore. It's nice to see a couple young defensive guys. Those guys are going to be fun to watch growing up. The Pats just
let me
just
echo. Let me quick thing on the Steelers. Just I mean, this is similar to you know, like you mentioned, Roethlisberger being a Hall of Famer, which I agree. This is another guy that he's been getting you know his teeth kicked in, but you know in terms of his character and stuff all summer long, and you know we'll see how good he is with Antonio Brown. I think the Steelers could be another as much as the Steelers can fly under the radar. This could be a year where they kind of sneak in and do some damage, you know, late in the season into the playoffs, just based on Roethlisberger being kind of pissed off. And like at the defense, if they can play some defense, run the ball a little bit more, they could be pretty good.
Right. Like you say, as much flying under radar are as possible. You haven't heard a lot about them. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is the next superstar at wide receiver. If you're not considering him already, we'll see how he makes out. Without Antonio Brown on the other side, so it was going to be drawing some coverage that he wasn't used to doing before. They got the running back out of Pitt as to be going into his second year, really getting a lot of time. So he had a really nice year filling in for Le'Veon Bell last year. Be interesting to see how the Steelers turn out. You know their defense is good. I love their coach. They're always right in the thick of things. Moving on, the Pats and the Lions. The Pats just crushed the Lions. I don't know what else you can say about it. There's a couple of games here we can just kind of zip through. Any thoughts on that one?
You mentioned Antonio Brown. Let's just talk about this helmet fucking moronicism. You know, but you were right. I think he probably in AB's defense, he probably said, "Man, if I'm not wearing my helmet, I ain't playing," type thing. And then it's all over. All over social media, but Tom Brady came out this week and said, "Yeah, I got to wear a new helmet. It kind of sucks. I got to get used to the division. I can't really see right now, but what else am I going to do?" And this dude's been wearing the same helmet for, I don't know, was it 19 years? It's 19th training camp. And then Jason Witten came, read an article today on the Cowboys website. Same thing. He's wore the same helmet for 15 years. Obviously took a year off last year, comes into camp this year, and he's like, you know, it was one of the biggest decisions. He said, he thought, I got to go in. I can't wear my same helmet. So, you know, it's just class and common sense versus fucking an asshole. It's just to echo on, you know, professionalism versus stupidity. That's
right. Right. You know what I mean? Tom Brady didn't come out and say, if I have to wear this helmet,
he's
I quit.
Gonna retire. Right.
He's going to take his Antonio Brown's going to take his ball and go home if he's got to play with that.
That's my passive aggressive thing that pissed me off.
Now we're coming up. I knew we'd come up with things piss Webb off. That shit happens on a natural.
On accident. All right.
Yeah. All right. The Bengals and the Chiefs, Mahomes, 4-4, 66 yards. Team got a touchdown as soon as he walked out the door. Actually, Dalton, as he always does, looks great in preseason, 7-9 for 80 yards. If playoffs is a different story. Mahomes, man, he's unbelievable. He's just fun to watch. I don't know about these two teams moving forward. Bengals have new coaching staff. The Chiefs, they should be obviously the team to beat in the AFC West.
Yeah, I mean the Chiefs at every position they're stacked. I don't know what Travis Kelce was on and saw him today, just saying you know speed kills. They're scary without the. The receiver didn't get suspended or whatever, so that just makes him stronger. Right, Mahomes is only going to get better. Yeah, Hill is only going to get better. You know, Kareem Hunt, they don't miss him at all. They got Tyrann Mathieu on defense as Frank Clark. Again, not that they're the greatest guys, but they're solid. They'll keep them in games. I think that secondary was horrendous last year. I think it's the corners are still bad, but I don't know that that's going to matter.
The honey badger will make plays, baby. The honey badger will make plays. He don't give a shit.
And I don't know. It might be some. They're right up there with the Raiders in terms of how many times the cops are going to come to the place. But that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. So they're good. They're going to be right there. They're scary good, pretty much. I'm not an Andy Reid fan. I didn't want to talk about a guy who loves the regular season versus the postseason, but. They're good enough. I don't think that's going to matter.
Right. Moving on, the Rams and the Raiders. Raiders won that game. They're playing a couple backup quarterbacks. Obviously, Carr didn't play. Most of the starters on the Rams didn't play. Nathan Peterson made a couple plays with his legs down the end. Glennon Also played, I don't know, what more can you say about the Rams and the Raiders? What do you think?
I don't know what's going on with the Raiders. I really don't. I think in his heart of hearts, I don't think Gruden wants Carr to be good. I think they can let him go next year for five, get him out of that $100 million deal for $5 million next year. And then I don't know how he could possibly say that Nathan Peterman is turning his head or doing, showing some good things. That dude, literally, me and you could go out there right now and do exactly what that fucking guy did. And
five picks. He got the big start through five
picks. It's hard to throw five picks. It's hard to do that. So I'm not sure what exactly is going on in Oakland. I don't know what – I'm not even sure – you know, basically Gruden comes out and defends Antonio Brown. That's like, you know, me telling my 8-year-old it's okay to stomp your feet and throw a temper tantrum in, you know, in the Toys R Us floor, and then I'm going to give you toys, and then I'm going to reward you with ice cream when we get home. So that situation is in no way going to get better, especially when they're, you know, 2-6. And so that's going to implode, I would think.
All right. Wait till Antonio Brown starts running around wide open and Carr misses. Look, I think Carr's an okay quarterback. I mean, I think he could probably start for half the teams in the league without any problem. I think he showed some tools a couple years ago. Obviously, he struggled in the new offense last year, but the whole Raiders team struggled. We'll see. We're gonna find out soon enough if the game has passed Gruden by. I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, first year, last year, not much change in the Raiders. Same old Raiders. Not really doing well. But they do the same thing every year. They get the big fancy guy. You know, the high rung guy. But man, what headache comes with Antonio Brown? We'll see. We'll see when he gets on the field. And man, hey man, you know I've been watching Hard Knocks.
I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah, of course.
I knew that.
So and they do that every week. The thing I talked about last week, I didn't know they were going to do it every week. Gruden says some fucking rah rah shit, and then they do the NFL film stuff. So it's been, I've watched that, and then it was pretty funny to watch.
That was a difficult exchange to watch between him and Carr. I don't know if that was scripted or what, but that was two dudes that didn't, and that was just awkward. That was like looking at a car wreck.
No chemistry. No. So, Raiders and Rams practiced against each other this past week, and it was pretty funny to see. So McVay, I guess, was basically an intern on Gruden's Tampa Bay staff, and they used to call him the Piss Boy. They called him Piss Boy because that's what Holmgren and the Green Bay staff used to call Gruden back when he was starting out. Same type of way. So it was pretty funny. They had a little video of Gruden in Tampa talking to McVay, you know, at practice and stuff like that. It was pretty fun to watch. So moving on, another one we had a winner for, Dallas versus San Francisco. We talked a little bit about that. The Niners came back and won that. They held it off at the end. Oh, one more thing I forgot to talk about that pisses me off is this new pass interference review rule.
Oh, yeah.
It came from the Saints situation with the Vikings last year, which I understand. It's just a slippery slope we're getting into here. So this game comes down to the wire. We're covering. I think the Niners were favored by about 4.5. What we had, they were covering at the time. So Dallas throws this ball deep down the field, and they call a pass interference. Well, they review it. The guy on the TV is going nuts, saying it wasn't a pass interference. The San Francisco guy had it clearly positioned everything. They did not overturn the call. I have no idea how many times this is going to screw us this year. One way or another, we're going to think we have a game won. We're going to think we have it won, and either it's going to be a pass interference, not a pass interference. I don't know. Yep. There's bumping and on every play. I just don't know how they're going to call this. I'm interested to see how this works out. I just
I'm hoping that it's going to be similar to last year with the helmet rule, where there was a bunch of, we were all worried about it this time last year, and we got to the regular season, it was less of an issue that we thought. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that it's just gonna, that was just almost like a political thing to kind of stop lawsuits from the morons in New Orleans.
right. Hey now, careful with that. All right. So we hung on and won that one. Moving on, the Saints and the Vikings. Saints, as they always do early in the preseason, whether they're good or bad, look like absolute crap. The other team moves the ball right down the field on them every year. Moves the ball right down the field on him for a touchdown in the first series. Cousins looked like he was getting ready to go to the Hall of Fame. You know, the Saints have two other quarterbacks on the roster besides Drew Brees, obviously. The thing I have an issue with is Taysom Hill is their third quarterback, and he played almost the whole second half, and he's running, he's throwing, he's getting hit, everything. Like, this dude plays every special team. He's a special team superstar. He's a frontline superstar for the Saints. He blocks punts. He blocks kicks. He runs back shit. He does everything. And they got him out there in the second half of a preseason game running all over the place, getting hit like he's going to be the quarterback this year or something like that. I just don't see why you don't bring in a fourth quarterback in the preseason. Let Taysom Hill get a little bit of run, but get him out of there. He's too important to the team to have him out there getting taking shots and everything all during the whole second half.
Why not just let Teddy Bridgewater take most of those snaps? You're paying him. He's not going to be. He's going to be your man next year. He's going to be off the team.
Well, I think he's going to be their man. They signed him this year. I think they're looking for him definitely to be the man.
He signed past this year.
Yeah. It was, I think, in the offseason they re-upped him. He was going to be a free agent, and there was actually some talk. It's kind of interesting. This is thinking in the other level. So Bridgewater played the final game of the Saints season because the Saints had everything locked up and looked pretty shitty. Yeah. You know, he was signed on a one-year deal last year and looked pretty crappy. And there's actually been some talk, heard a few guys talk about this, and it makes sense that what reason would Sean Payton have for Bridgewater to have looked really good in that last regular season game of the year last year? If he goes out in that last regular season game last year and throws three touchdowns and 350 yards, all of a sudden this past offseason, he's the hottest commodity on the market. Instead, the Saints get to sign him for a medium type contract and keep him around here for a few years. When he had gone out with his 1 year deal last year and played in that last regular season game in a year and had a great game, all of a sudden, man, every team that needs a quarterback could be running after Teddy Bridgewater and throwing the money at him. So that it's an interesting thing. It's kind of thinking on another level that I don't think about until I heard it the other day. And it does make sense. There would have been no reason for Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton to have Bridgewater go out there in the last game last year and really, really light up things.
Yeah, I see. He just signed a 1 year deal, another deal. Someone's got to do it. So they got to bring someone out there, like you said. They couldn't do. You don't want to bring Taysom Hill out there. So I get it. I get what you're saying. I think I'm a Teddy fan. I hope it works out best for him. Whatever that is.
I like him. I hope he is the heir apparent to Drew Brees. Like I said, right. You know, we've talked endlessly about Brees's future. We'll let that dictate itself at this point on. But you know, I think they really have him sitting waiting wings. Moving on, game we lost. We took the Chargers. We thought Kyler Murray would struggle, and Arizona would struggle. Of course, it's preseason. He did not. He looked pretty solid, I thought. Obviously, preseason, 6 of 7, 44 yards. He moved his team around a little bit. He looked comfortable back there. He made some nice throws. He looked active back there. Did you check out that game at all?
I did. And again, this is one of the things I think they just put it on a little silver platter for him, the easy throws, the easy things. It was the thing that was smart to me is they didn't have him run at all. He threw that one pass. It was almost a lateral to Larry Fitzgerald instead of taking it across the line of scrimmage and getting hit. But again, I think the majority of his throws were easier throws, easier reads. Not to diminish what he did. They look good. But that was week one. Preseason, I am not optimistic at what's going to get good as much as I'm rooting for him. And I'm not anti-Kingsbury either. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald's a class act. I'd like to see him have some success, but I'm not sure how it's going to work out for him, especially with that offensive line. And David Johnson, I've never really been that big of a fan. He had the 1 year, and it's been hurt ever since. Did get paid. It's another thing that kind of makes me think. I don't know exactly sure where his head's at. So up in the air on them. I don't think it's going to be a long year.
All right. Well, moving on. All right. That's the recap of these games. Let's move on. Preseason week number two. We'll take a look at some numbers here and see some games, see if we agree on any, disagree on any. We'll move right along. Just one more reminder. You can email us any questions you might have at thewagermakers@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Any baseball picks you're interested in, fantasy football advice, anything. Facebook, we're the Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter @thewagermakers, Instagram @thewagermakers. Again, we're monitored on sportswatchmonitor.com, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, and Stitcher. Check us out. All right, let's move on. You see anything on the top of your head that you – any games you like this week coming up, Webb?
I saw the Cowboy game. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the Cowboys minus three. I don't see that. They're ridiculously banged up. They don't have, Zeke's obviously not there. Cooper hasn't played. Needless to say, Jason Witten's not going to play. DeMarcus Lawrence isn't ready yet. So I'm not sure how they could be getting or laying points. I targeted that game right off the top of my head. So I like the Rams for sure. It's being played in Hawaii. I'm not sure what's the difference that has, but I do like against the Cowboys again. And I'm interested to see what goes on with Atlanta. It's going to be their third game versus their third preseason game playing against the Jets. Trevor Siemian for the Jets did not look good, but then again, neither did Matt Schaub. I'm leaning towards Atlanta in that game. I think that might be one of my better picks too. Small minus 1.5 at home. They just based off of the fact that they have an extra game over the Jets there. So I think they may come out and play better. And again, they're looking for some momentum. They don't want to lose every game in a preseason. I think they have their sights set in this season for a big year in Atlanta too. So those are the two games I think I like.
Cool. That sounds good. I think the issue with the Rams is that probably you mentioned the Cowboys don't like to play too many guys or do anything during preseason. I think the Rams are in the same spot. I'm not sure if their quarterback played at all last year in the preseason that I remember. And so I think that maybe that's where that line's coming from. I'm not so sure. I'm on going against the Cowboys. I do like your pick against with Atlanta minus a 1.5. I think, like you said, they're a couple of preseason games in. They're probably ready to get some starters, get a little action, and see what's going on. So that's one I think we can agree on, the Atlanta minus the 1.5. Let's see. We'll just go down a list here and we get some insights and see if we agree or disagree on anything. The Eagles are going to the Jaguars. Right now the line is Thursday night. It's the Jags are minus 3. Of course, Foles didn't play last year. This will be, if he plays, it'll be his rematch against the Eagles. I don't know if that plays into it all or what do you think?
I work down in Philly. They're saying he's not going to play at all. So this is a difficult game, but I think the Eagles are just terrified at this point of losing a quarterback. I mean, if anything were to happen to Carson Wentz, the season's over. Although they're talented, both sides of the ball. Jacksonville's D is real good. The line Jacksonville minus 3 is telling me that these guys, the Sharps, are thinking in Jacksonville. So just based off of that, I think I would go Jacksonville in this game, but not I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other.
Right, same deal. I think if you held a gun to my head, I'd have to make a pick on this one. But otherwise, I think I'm pretty up in the air on that. Moving on, Bengals Redskins. They got Washington minus 3 over the Bengals at home. We got the Packers. Baltimore's minus 4 over the Packers. That's a game I'd like to look at. Again, we talked about the Ravens last week or a little while ago being like 14-0 in the last bunch of preseason games. Lamar Jackson played a bunch last week. I think they still want to get him some run. I doubt if we'll see Aaron Rodgers in there yet. And I think I think their backup situation for Green Bay is just horrible. What do they got? Kaiser?
Sean Kaiser, I think.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he sucked. To me, he sucked at Notre Dame. I don't know how he can be a professional quarterback. I'm kind of looking at the Ravens minus 4 in that one. I don't know if you how you feel about that.
Again, this is a pretty big line. I think that's telling us something. If I had to, yeah. I mean, I agree. Cam Rodgers isn't playing. I think Lamar Jackson would get more than one series. I'm not sure about the Baltimore 14 in a row. I don't know. I don't know how much weight I put in that. But again, this is another one. Gun to my head, I would take Baltimore for sure. And again, those Sharps, that 4-point spread is, you know, it's weird. I'm leaning towards a bigger spread than taking the points in that one. But I think I'd go Baltimore there for sure.
Okay, cool. Cardinals Raiders. That's at Arizona. That's on Thursday night on ESPN. So if anybody's looking for some something to watch, we got some football to watch this week. Arizona's looking at -3 right now on the ESPN app. This is a point spread.
That one, I'm thinking, same deal as that. They're going to get Kyler Murray some positive, easy reads, get his confidence going. I would go with actually the Cardinals in this. Obviously, Antonio Brown's not going to play. The Raiders don't really have much else. They might. I think Jacobs, the running back, signed late. I don't know how much run he's going to get either. I'm not sure what is going on with Oakland, really. I think it's more important. Much more important for the psyche of the Cardinals. And I think this is a good chance for them to go out and have some really good things happen. So I like the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a game I'm looking at, that the Cardinals -3 at home. Raiders are a little bit of a mess. And we talked about, you know, Carr didn't play last week, and their backups, you know, Glennon and Peterman are really not very good. So, you know, obviously this is not regular season games. It's kind of a crapshoot. Who's going to play, who's going to play when. It's not an indication of what's going to happen in a regular season, but I think the Cards -3 in this spot is a solid play. So moving on to, did you see anything with the Bengals and Redskins? Or that's a wait and see deal. It looked like the Skins are -3. I'm not sure what's going on.
I'm not sure. That's another tough one. I mean, that line kind of tells me something. I don't know what's going on with the Bengals. It seems like, you know, Marvin Lewis should have been out of there, you know, 5 years ago. And it's one of those things. I mean, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. So I don't think sure they got better, so they're definitely going to be getting worse. Not that the Redskins are any good either. This is one I have. No, I'm going to punt on this one. You know, gun to my
fair
head.
Enough.
Give me the 3. I guess.
Fair enough. You know. No reason to bet on it. Look, it's preseason. We got a long season to go. There's no reason to throw a bet out there just for you guys out there listening. We're only going to give you stuff that we like. Obviously, we might disagree on some things, and you can go from there. Yep, there you go. Bills and Panthers. The Carolina's at home laying 3. I doubt if Cam will play. Josh, we talked a little bit earlier about Josh Allen and him still needing to get reps. You know, so I don't know what your thoughts on that one.
I think I'm just going to, we're going to go with the same logic we used last time. I mean, Cam Newton is this again, like we said, I think Carolina just wants to get through this period of time. Let's get Cam healthy. Let's get to the games that mean something, get the players that we want out there playing. And it's almost not the exact opposite for Buffalo, but they just want to get some decent momentum, positive plays, you know, in the can on film. And I think it just means more to them. So I like Buffalo.
Okay, fair enough. I think I like Buffalo plus the 3 as well. Moving on, we got the Bears traveling to the Giants. Giants are favored by 2.5 in that one.
I think based off of what I saw last week, I think the Giants backups, the quarterback in particular, Tanny, I'm thinking of more so than even Daniel Jones. I think played well. I think the Giants are not a bad bet here. Again, this is a tough one too. Chicago's got a great defense. Not a game I would probably play unless I had to, but I would take the Giants actually.
All right, fair enough. I think that one's one I might want to stay away from. I think the Bears obviously are a good team, but you know, you never know what's going to throw out there preseason. We can move on to Dolphins and Bucks, the little battle in Florida. There's sometimes teams like to win this one, just to get a little fan base going and get some more people in their
Bragging
seats.
Rights, yeah.
Right. Tampa Bay is laying 3.5 in this one on the early line.
I feel fairly good about this one too. I like Tampa Bay, just based off of like they did in the draft. I think Bruce Arians, I'm a big fan. And he's trying to, you know, instill his system, his culture there. And I think he's going to try to get Jameis any positivity, anything, any momentum moving forward as well. I think he'll play more than a series. And then I think Aaron's could work his quarterback whispering into whoever the backup is. And Miami just doesn't really have anybody even on the front line. I like Tampa Bay actually decent in this game. I think that's. I thought about taking this one of my better bets. So I like the Bucks.
Yeah, I like that too. I thought Jameis looked real good in the other night. And like you say, Arians is trying to change the culture there. And he'll get a little run, learn a new system and everything. I think they really want to work with Jameis. Get him going. And I like that, you know, of course, we've talked about the Fitzpatrick and Rosen situation. We'll see how that turns out. But I think I really like Tampa. I think they could be a real dark horse team to move up and play a lot better this year. They put up big numbers on offense last year. If you take away all the turnovers Winston had, all of a sudden that changes their outlook a lot. I think I like the Buccaneers in that game. Moving on to Saturday night, they got the Browns and Colts. For some reason, Indy's laying three. The Browns looked incredible the other night. But this, I mean, you think this is one that's one of those too good to be true situations here?
It's got to be. I think that, you know, the entire, you know, football fandom in Indianapolis just holding their breath. If you'd ask them, I'm sure they'd rather not play this game. And that's just the exact opposite. Cleveland Browns would play football, you know, every day at this point just to get their guys out there. This one scares me, just like what you said, just based off of that line. I'm not sure that line shouldn't be reversed. So, you know, I like the Browns if you have to play it, you know, Saturday, we'll see how we do these next, you know, see how we do tomorrow night, but,
right.
You know, have to definitely the Browns, but I'm not sure. I can't say I like the sharps on one end and say I don't like it here. So that's a difficult, it's odd. Something I've got scratching my head.
Right. It seems like you say, it seems like it should be reversed. Even though the Browns are on a road, it seems like they should be laying the three and not the other way around, which, you know, sometimes that's something you want to jump all over, obviously. And then sometimes there's enough, especially in a preseason game, where you say, wait a minute, something ain't right here. It's too good. This is too good to be true. And I think this is one I'd lay off. I mean, obviously, if we were, depending on what your situation is for the week, right, whether you lay off it or not. You know, if we had to play that one, I certainly, the Browns are right now look way better, especially no Andrew Luck. And so we'll see. We're going to lay off through that right now. We'll see how many good picks we come up with here and kind of go from there. So moving on, we got the Patriots travel to Tennessee, and New England is -1.
This one's kind of tough too. I'm not sure, you know, again, how much New England, you know, quote unquote, cares about this. I do think they would like to see, you know, get some quality backup quarterback play. I'm not sure how much Hoyer's going to play. Tennessee, I think I'll go Tennessee just if I had to. Again, this is not one of the top picks. I think Tennessee, again, looking, there's a lot of talk about them. And I think Vrabel's still trying to push that every game is important. We need to get this winning culture established. And I think it just matters more to them, you know, in the long run.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Pats kicked the Lions' butt the other night. Obviously, Patriots know how this goes. They're not going out here to try and win preseason games. I think the Titans still want to get Mariota some run. I think I like the Titans +1 at home on this one. So, I think that's one we agree on. We can move forward to that. We got the Chiefs. Man, if this was regular season, this would be probably a great game. We got the Chiefs going into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's -1. Mahomes got a good little run last week. Roethlisberger probably won't even play again this week, if at all. What are your thoughts on this one?
I like Kansas City just based on the fact that Andy Reid is one of the guys that's kind of opposite of some of these things we talked about. He seems to play his starters earlier in the preseason, trying to get his program intact, and then kind of sits him towards that third game, that usually dress rehearsal game. So he kind of does it the opposite. Just based off that, I'll take KC. Plus they're loaded in every, you know, all over the place except maybe cornerback. I'll take KC just based on Andy Reid's history and the talent of that roster.
Yep, cool. Agreed. It would be nice to see. It's going to be fun to watch that young kid Bush run around at that Steelers linebacker core with Mahomes back there. Obviously, we'll only get to see it for probably a little while. Mahomes shouldn't play too, you know, but he might play the first, maybe for the first quarter. So we'll see. Lions, yep. go to the Texans. Texans are -4.5. The Lions, man, they got creamed in the first preseason game, but you got to think they're going to try and bounce. Nobody wants to lose by 30 points the first 2 weeks of the preseason, whether it's preseason or not.
Yeah, I think that this, you know, they are going to be looking to get some positive plays on tape, just for, you know, even the coaching staff is looking to do some positive stuff. they do, you know, have some talent. I think their defense is okay. I'm not sure what they're doing offensively. Stafford's probably not going to play, obviously not going to play. And this is another tough one. Houston is kind of in the same boat, I think. I will take Detroit just off the fact that they got embarrassed last week and just some professional pride in there.
Right. I think I'm with you on that. We'll see. I mean, getting 4.5, it's a preseason game. What do you got to lose, really? Moving on. You know, Saints Chargers. Saints are +3.5 in this one. Obviously, the Saints, I talked about that a little bit. They didn't look too hot. I would doubt if Breeze is going to play at all. Phillips Rivers, who knows? But what do you think? What do you think there?
This is a tough one too. I'm going to go with San Diego just based off of what we said last week that didn't happen. I think all that stuff kind of applies again. The Saints, they're hoping, thinking bigger things, as are the Chargers, but I think, you know, San Diego just wants to play better. It's more important. Drew Brees is older. I guess it's kind of, the teams both mirror each other. I'm just going to take the Chargers just off of a,
right.
Just a
feeling. I think that's another one that we pick if you're holding the gun to our head, we'll say.
Yeah.
So, we're down the last couple games here. We got the Seahawks travel to Minnesota. Their Seahawks are getting 4.5, and then you got the Niners. They did good for us last week. They travel to Denver, and they're +2.5. Garoppolo didn't get any run last week. I'm not sure. I think you got to think Lynch and the brain trust over there wants to get him out on the field. I know he was injured last year. I don't know. We'll see. Seahawks, we talked about Russell Wilson didn't play last week, and Cousins looked pretty solid against the Saints, but everybody looks good against the Saints in the preseason. What are your thoughts on those two? You think that's some stuff we can play with there?
I think, I mean, I think Minnesota at home, again, I'm going to look to lots of big line, 4.5. Seattle, they're just looking for some positive plays. Minnesota is a team that disappointed last year. I think they're going to play Cousins longer than you'd think he would play. That may be enough to get them over the hump. I like Minnesota in that game. At home up there as well. And I got to agree with you too. San Francisco needs some good stuff to happen. So does Denver, and this is also Denver's third preseason game. I just think the San Francisco backup quarterback play is going to be a little bit better than Denver. So based on that, I like San Francisco.
The backup down there in San Francisco showed that he can run this offense last year, even when Garoppolo went off in a little
correct.
While.
Correct.
So I think I like that one too. So I'm gonna go back and recap. I think we both agreed on the Atlanta -1.5 over the Jets. Yep. We both felt pretty strongly about the Ravens -4 over the Pack. We like the Cardinals -3 over the Raiders.
Yep.
The Bills +3 over the Panthers.
Yep.
Tampa Bay -3.5 over the Dolphins.
That's, I got that one starred. That's, I like that one.
Okay.
For sure.
We had the Titans, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Niners. Do you want to narrow this down, any, or are we going to go ahead and go ahead?
San Francisco at the Vikings.
All right. San Francisco?
The two big best bets I'm going to go with, I'm going to come off of the Cow. I'm going to go with maybe Atlanta and definitely Tampa Bay, probably the bets. And the Cowboys, like a best bet B or whatever, best bet A.
All right, Atlanta, Tampa. All right, I'll go ahead and say the Rams, since you feel so strongly about that. I know your boys. I'm gonna stick with you on that. I'm gonna go with the 49ers. And the Ravens. We're gonna go with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's going to be our 5 best bets. We're going to put those in at Sports Watch Monitor. You guys heard all the other ones. So pick and choose as you want. But as far as our big bets here, we're going to put it in at Sports Watch Monitor. The Rams over the Cowboys, Atlanta -1.5 over the Jets, Tampa Bay -3.5 over the Dolphins, San Francisco over the Broncos +2.5, and the Ravens -4 over the Packers. And that's a good look at week two in the preseason. You got anything you want to add to this stuff there, Weber? This is a pretty long episode. Episode five is a monster.
It was. Flowing. No, I think we covered it all, man. That was good. We did every game, both weeks.
Cool, man. We gave you guys some good insight on these teams after the week one of preseason, give a little feel of what they're doing, what they might look like in the future. Obviously, we'll learn a lot more here in the coming week, and we'll learn every week. And so in the next podcast, we'll probably do one in a couple more days. That'll be episode 6. We'll get into some basic stuff. NBA schedule came out recently. So we got a lot of we haven't really touched on the NBA too much. So maybe we'll go into that. Talk about some, Zeke is still out of camp. All of a sudden comes out, probably made more of it than usual, that Dak wants all kinds of money. So the Cowboys have some things to deal with. We'll talk about Andrew Luck, see where he's at in a few days. And we'll just try to talk about general topics and then obviously maybe the major episode baseball. After that. No doubt. It's down the stretch, Major League Baseball.
And a wild card race. And then also we got to get into the first, sooner than later, we'll get into the first week of college football as well.
Oh man. We're only about a week away now, a little over a week away now till college football is for real. And then it's really on. So
we'll have an in-depth breakdown of week one.
Right. Just want to thank everybody for listening again, the WagerMakers at gmail.com. If you have any questions, check us out, our podcast. We got more coming at you. So, thanks, Webb. You got anything to say to the people on the road?
Thanks, guys. Check us out.
All right, dig it. Check us out. You can check us out on Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, the Wager Makers podcast on Facebook, at the Wager Makers on Twitter, and Instagram is at the Wager Makers. Thank you again for all the bumper music, John Groh, the champ. And you can check out our picks that we make daily, and you can even purchase them at Sports Watch Monitor. We've got baseball picks every day. Check them out. It's just hard to do the podcast with the baseball because it's a daily thing. So check us out on there. So thank you, everybody, for listening. See you on episode 6.
Thanks, guys.